chapter number 5. What we're going to do is just to backfill the story a little bit, because it's been a week or a couple of weeks or so since we've been in Ezra. But when we left off at the end of chapter 5, we looked at the start of chapter 5 and how Tatnai and those agitators had came, and they come down, and if you remember, they came from the other side of the Euphrates. They came from a different area where Tatnai had authority there, and he came down to Judea and to Jerusalem to investigate what was going on with the temple builders. And we looked at how he had no real authority. He was sticking his nose in, and what we determined was that he was an agitator. He wasn't innocent. And he asked the questions, you know, who gives you the authority to build this temple? And then, if you remember, he goes to the Jews and says, give us the name of your leaders. Give us the names of the people. And what this transpires to is that Tatnai writes a letter. He writes a letter to King Darius, who is the ruler of the Medes and the Persians. And he writes this letter to them, giving the response of the Jewish people and also asking for some instruction. So what we'll do is, by way of introduction, we're not going to spend too much time in this because we're going to get into chapter 6 this morning, but we'll read from verse number 6 of chapter 5 all the way down to the end of that chapter, and we'll see what the letter that was written to Darius contains, okay? And that'll help us as we get into the response to the letter from Darius. So verse number 6 of chapter number 5. Bear with me if I get these names wrong, but I don't think you'll do any better, so be okay. That's one of the benefits about some of these names, is that nobody else knows how to pronounce them either, so you're okay. All right, so chapter number 5, verse number 6, and the word of God says this: the copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor of this side of the river, and Shethar Bozenai and his companions, the Africites, were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus. So here's the letter. Unto Darius the king, all peace. It's very groveling already, isn't it? Isn't it? It's like, king, all peace. You know, that's what happens, isn't it? When you come to somebody, a lot of times people want to butter you up with compliment first before they get to what they're really asking you. And this is what's going on here. Be it known unto the king, verse 8, that we went into the province of Judea, again, that wasn't their jurisdiction, to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid on the walls, and this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then we asked those elders, and said unto them thus, who commanded you to build this house, and to make up these walls? We asked their names also, to certify thee that we might write the names of the men that were chief of them. Now here's their answer. Here's the answer. And you know, by all that's in me, if I'm ever pulled before the authorities for what I believe, and you know, people want you to give my name, this should be the response for every believer. It's beautiful. Verse 11, and thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which the great king of Israel built and set it up. We are servants of the God of heaven and earth. That's all you need to know about us. Beautiful. Verse 12, but after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath. He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. Remember, the people were carried into Babylon not because of the power of that king, but because of the wrath of their God. They had disobeyed what God said, so God chastised them and he allowed them to go into captivity. God was in control of that. Verse 13, but in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. And the vessels also of gold and of silver in the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did King Cyrus take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one, whose name was Sheshbazzar, and he made him governor. We think Sheshbazzar was Zerubbabel. So, you know, we have this detail in the letter, how that this is what the Jews have said in response of why they're doing what they're doing. They're doing it first and foremost because they're servants of God. first thing that comes out of their mouth. We're servants of God and he is the authority. But then secondly, they say that we're also doing this legally. Because we have had a decree from Cyrus, who has told us to go back into the land. Cyrus, a ruler of the Medes and the Persians. And he is the one that has given us all the stuff that Nebuchadnezzar took away from us. And he sent us back into the land. So this is what they're saying. They're saying this is being done legally. Verse 16. Then came the same Sheshbazzar, or Zerubbabel, and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, until now, hath it been in building, and yet is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be, again, such groveling. If it seems good to the king, let there be a search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so, that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem. And let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. So it's grovelers. But here's the thing. What business of it was theirs? What had it to do with them? They didn't even live in the same province. They weren't even over it. So why were they getting involved in this? Why were they trying to put a spanner in the works of the rebuilding of the temple? Because here's the thing. People will go out of their way to get involved in the business of God to stop it happening. People will go out of their way to make things awkward for the people of God. You've got to get that in your head. There are no friends to the people of God in the world outside of the people of God. None. People may do favors from time to time, but you have to understand that there are only two sides. There's God's side, and there's not God's side. That's it. So it should be no surprise that people from outside want to come and poke their nose into things that don't affect them to try and disrupt them. And that's what's going on here. So the letter is sent to Darius. And what we're going to focus in on this morning is the response of Darius. And I've entitled this message, Darius and the Three Decrees. Because there's three decrees, not degrees. Not Darius and the Three Degrees. There's only a few of you older people know that. Who knows who the Three Degrees are? Yeah, all the older people. Listen, I know who the Three Degrees are. So we're not getting a rendition of When Will I See You Again. All right, this is Darius. You're all going down memory lane now, aren't you? This is Darius and the Three Decrees, because there are three decrees. What is a decree? A decree is a order that has the force of law. That's a simple way of saying it. That's what a decree is. An order that has the force of law behind it. So we should be used to this in today's environment, because, you know, I'm thinking Monday there's probably going to be a new decree. Because that's what's happening. It's changing all the time. But that's what it is. And so we know about decrees in their modern form. But Darius, King Darius, was part of the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And as the sovereign king, he had complete authority. So, you know, that's why Tat and I and that are groveling, because you couldn't just go before the king. You couldn't just approach the king. If he didn't say the right thing at the right time and he was in a bad mood, you were dead. You were, you know, there was no political correctness. Then what the king said was law. What he said was enforced to the very letter, because he was the sovereign king. So Darius, the sovereign ruler, receives this letter, and he responds to this letter with three decrees. So that's what we're going to have a look at this morning. So the first response that comes from Darius is a searching decree. Let's read verses 1 to 7 of chapter number 6. He issues a searching decree. Chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Achmetha, in the place that is the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, in the first year of Cyrus, the king, the same Cyrus, the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered themselves, and let the foundations be strong thereof be strongly laid, and the height thereof 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 80 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber. Let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And let also the gold and the silver and the vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem, and brought to Babylon, be restored, and be brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river. So again, the king clearly understands here that this is not Tatnai's jurisdiction. He says, governor beyond the river, Shasnir Boznai, and your companions, the Africites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of gold in this place. So the first decree that goes out from Darius is a searching decree. And he declares that there be a search made of the records to see if what the Jews are saying can be substantiated. Because the claim of the returning Jews is that they are under the authority of King Cyrus, who has sent them out with his decree to return to the land. So there's this decree to have this search in verse number 1 of chapter 6. And then in verse 2, the records are searched, and it's found that actually the Jews are telling the truth. There's a record of this decree that Cyrus has given all those years ago. And this record of King Cyrus has been preserved so that when the Jews are under attack and the records are searched, that record is there. And you think, wow, that's lucky. Lucky? That's not lucky. That's divine providence of God. Could have gone missing. Could have been thrown away. But a sovereign God is behind the scenes, and God moves every scene he is behind. It's not accident. It's not chance. It's divine providence. God is in control. So the records show that in verses 3 to 5 there that the Jews were granted permission. They were granted permission to build their temple. Not only that, they were granted permission and decree to build it the way that Solomon's temple was built. Again, divine providence, down to the details that are given. And this brings us all the way back in our journey in Ezra, right to the start. And what we have to remember here is, again, this is given, King Cyrus's decree is given during the regime of the Medes and the Persians. Can you remember what the feature was of the laws that were given by Mede and Persian kings? Anybody? Couldn't be changed. That's the law of the Medes and the Persians. Esther chapter number 1 verse 19. Turn there. Esther chapter number 1 verse 19. We're going to be having a look at Esther in due course as this parallels along these times. Esther chapter number 1 verse 19 says, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it not be altered. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 8. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 8. Daniel 6 and verse 8 says this. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, whether it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, once the decree was formulated, once it was put out there, it could not be altered. It could not be changed. What was said stays. was the law of the Medes and the Persians. So the decree that was given by Cyrus all those years ago for the Jews to return to Jerusalem and to build a temple was given under a regime where the law that was given, once it was given, could not be changed, could not be altered. It stood and it stayed. Accident? Chance? Divine providence. Divine providence. It wasn't a coincidence that this was given under a regime where the following kings could not change it. It wasn't a coincidence that this was given under a regime that kept all these records because of that very law, that if a law has to be kept, and it has to be kept by the fallen rulers, then it has to be recorded. Accident? Chance? No. This is God moving in history. Remember, God is behind every scene, and he moves every scene that he's behind. He's sovereign. He's in control. So the response here that it is found when the records are searched, that it's clear truth that the Jews are speaking. That they are servants of God, first and foremost, but secondly, they're going under the authority of the king, Cyrus, who issued that decree all those years ago. And as a response to that, then, in verses number 6 and 7 of chapter 6, we find that Darius says to Tatnai, he says, this has nothing to do with you. Get you over to your side and let them commence the work. The work's going to continue. Praise God. So Darius's first decree was a searching one. Then his second decree, and I love this, this is a supporting decree. Look at verses number 8 to 10. I love this. Absolutely love this. Verses number 8 to 10. Remember, if you're Tatnai, think if you're Tatnai. Put yourself in his place. This is the agitator. This is the one that's come along, and he has got involved in business that doesn't concern him. He has written smugly to the king because I believe in his own heart he thought these claims were preposterous. Why would the king of the Medes and the Persians ever give such an overwhelming decree of support to these Jews, these dispersed people? And he writes to the king, and when he writes to the king, he's waiting for the king's response, and more than likely he's waiting for a favorable response. But he doesn't get a favorable response. Let's read verses 8 to 10. Moreover, I make a decree. So this is the second decree. This is Darius issuing this supporting decree. What ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expense shall be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offering of the God in heaven, wheat, salt, and wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savours unto the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. So not only does Darius issue a searching decree where he finds what the truth is, further on, he goes and he issues this supporting decree to say that actually more than just allowing them to continue the work, they're going to be supported in that work. They're going to have their finances. Look at the end of verse 8. Forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. Verse number 9 says that they can have what they need. Bullocks, rams, lambs. What for? For the burnt offering. So not only now has Tatnai failed to stop the work of God, but through his actions, the sovereign God has stepped in. And now in the law of the Medes and the Persians, under this decree, not only has the work started again, but the expenses have been provided for to build the temple. But more than that, the king is going to supply all that is needed for temple worship, for the sacrificial system. So Tatnai tried to stop just the building. God stepped in and said, this king's going to provide for the building and also for the operation of that. Talk about an epic fail on the part of Tatnai. You see, the enemy steps in and he tries to take away. But if you're faithful to God, faithful to his word, faithful to his will, God will bless you and keep you and hold you and sustain you and give you everything you need. Hear me, church. Give you everything you need to serve him. But this started with those people, the remnant, standing for God, building the work, and when challenged, answering, "We are the servants of God." We're the servants of God, and he's commanded us to build. So they're faithful, and God is there. He's with them. And he turns these events that look like they're events that are going to halt the work, are going to stop the work, actually, are the very events that prosper the work. Persecution of the church across the world hinders the work of God? Do you? I don't think it does. I think it prospers the work of God. I think when persecution comes, people realize where their bread is buttered. They kneel their colors to the mask, and what you have is a separating of those that are professors but not possessors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's left is those that know him and love him and want to serve him. And when they stand for him, God is with them. Satan persecuted the early church, and it grew. Church is being persecuted in China. It grows. Church is being left alone in the UK, and it dies. So the enemy steps in, but if we're faithful to God, God is there. Only this week, John MacArthur, who's having his own battle in the States, and I don't want to get into American politics, that's complicated enough, but they're having a battle with wanting to keep the church open, and the state and the county wants to get involved. And what happened recently, he tweeted this, is that they're doing all sorts to disrupt it. And one of the things that the county was doing is they were trying to take away some of their car parking spaces. So 180 of their car parking spaces. It'd be nice to have 180 car parking spaces out there. Nice to have 180 car parking spaces filled. Car parking spaces are useless unless they're filled. But 180, now that's not all of their car parking spaces. It's, Grace Community Church is obviously a massive church. But so the enemy's trying to do everything they can. Let's do some laws to try and take away 180 of their car parking spaces. And what happened was the courts got involved and they blocked that. They blocked the county from doing that. And John MacArthur went on to say that actually they were contacted by a synagogue that's in the same kind of block. So obviously they must share an area for car parking spaces. And the leaders of the synagogue said they could use their car parking spaces, which was 150. So what happened was, the enemy tried to remove 180 car parking spaces. Because those people are being faithful, God intervened. Instead of taking away 180, he gave them an extra 150. Because God's in control. God's in control. Now, we live our lives. And honestly, last week was the start of it. I'm fed up pretending. The truth of it is that all of us live our lives at some point like God isn't in control. All of us. We live our lives like God isn't in control. But to say that removes God of his sovereignty, of his Godhood, who he is. Effectively, you put him lower than us. Now, we all do this. Honest to goodness, we all do this. But if this time is telling me anything, it is time for us to behave like the people of God. And we have to fight against our flesh in that. It's difficult because it's so easy to get stressed. And we do worry and we do struggle. And that's the world we live in. But at the back of that, we have to hang on to the sovereignty of God, to understand that he is with us
and to ask him that whatever situation we're facing, whatever difficulty, whatever trial we're in, is God, what do you want me to do in this? How can I serve you as a servant of God? And when we begin to do that, we realize God is with us. And when the enemy steps in, we stay faithful. God steps in. And God blesses. He blesses. He provides. He sustains. He enables. He equips. That's our God. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's our God. So God is sovereign, God is in control, and when the enemies of this, the rebuilding of the temple, come along, they stay faithful to what God has called them to do. We're servants of God. And God blesses them. And instead of stopping the work, they end up bankrolling the work. I think that's brilliant. That's brilliant. It's an absolute epic feel on the part of Tatnai, second only to Haman in the book of Esther. What a failure. Why was it a failure? Because nobody goes up against the God of heaven and wins. Nobody. Nobody. So that's two decrees down. First decree was a searching decree. The second one was a supporting decree. And then finally, the third decree, Darius issues a serious decree. Verses number 11 to 14. Also, I have made a decree, this is Ezra 6, that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that has caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and all people, that shall put their hand on to altar and destroy the house of God, which is Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. Then Tatnai and the governor on this side of the river, see how the Bible repeats this, where his place is, and their companions according to that which Darius the king has sent. So they did speedily. I like that. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So this is a serious decree. And the decree that Cyrus gives is that anybody that messes with this, anybody that gets involved in this, will be hanged on gallows made from the wood of his own house. And his house will be destroyed. It'll be made like rubble, a dunghill. Now you can imagine the reaction of Tatnai. This is not the letter that he hoped. You ever get a letter through the door and it's not quite the letter that you hoped it would be? Often. Mine come from the tax man. And every time a little tax, because you know when it's a letter from the tax man, don't you? And you open it and think, this will be the day where the big rebate comes. You open it. Congratulations, Mr. Cowdery. You owe us. And like, ah. Oh. But Tatnai, he's waiting on a letter with a positive response. You can imagine that he's got all these plans made of what he's going to do and how he's going to promote himself and really just march down there to Jerusalem and deliver this news to those Jewish rabble, those that think they can just do what they want when they want. He's going to march down there and he's going to tell them the king Darius has said, that's it, it's done, it's finished. But instead, he has to read this letter that says it's not done, it's not finished. Actually, it's starting. It's being bankrolled. The Levitical system is going to be supplied so the worship can start. And more than that, if anybody's got a problem with that, this is what's going to happen to them. They're going to be hung from gallows made from the wood from their own house. But then their house is going to be destroyed. What do you think of that, Tatnai? It's not the news he was waiting for. Not at all. So So you can imagine the reaction of these. And all of a sudden, they go from this place where they're confident and they're proud, to suddenly in verse 13, they did what the king said speedily. They tuck their tails between their legs and do a runner. Not so merry now. Not so happy now. You know, this is failure on a Haman scale. And they did what the king said because they knew now that the game was over, that there was no more agitating for them to be done. You know, up until this point, they've been continuing on with their agitation. And we find there in verse number 14, off the back of all this, this wonderful truth that they builded the temple and they finished it. Because the sovereign God was with them. What prevented them finishing that temple earlier? Was it the government? What was the only thing that stopped them finishing that temple? Their response in obedience to God. When you look at it, there are other things you can put excuses down to, but ultimately, if they had obeyed God and did what he said and not got distracted with their own houses and stayed focused, they would have had the temple built. But they took their eye off the ball. And as verse 14 says, that God had to send his prophets in, and Haggai and Zechariah, to remind them what to do. But when they got about remembering they were servants of God, then we get to the point where the temple's finished. And there's something important at the end of verse 14 that I want you to see. Because here's the running order in the priority of the creed. It says, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel first. And according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. That's the order. God first, government second. That's it. So there we have the three decrees of Ezra. We have that searching decree where the search is made for the record. The record bears the truth. We have a supporting decree where the agitators don't stop the work, but they're the ones that get it started again. And not only that, the finances are provided and the elements are provided to get the Levitical system going again. So they really have the complete opposite effect of what they wanted to do. And then the third decree was a serious decree that death would face anyone that messed with what Darius had said. Now, each one of these decrees was given, as we've said, by the law of the Medes and the Persians. And that was that once it was said, it was settled. Okay? Once it was said, it was settled. It couldn't be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. What I want to say to you as we wrap up this morning is that the Medes and the Persians weren't first to this party. That thought is not original with them. That a law or a decree is issued and it is effectively eternal, never changing. They weren't the first. Because our God is the ultimate judge. Our God is the ultimate lawgiver. He is the one who is perfectly just and holy and righteous. He's the one, when he says it, that settles it and it never changes. Isaiah 33, verse 22. Turn there if you have your Bibles. Isaiah 33, verse 22. Isaiah 33, verse 22. You want to highlight this. You want to underline this. You want to remember this. It says this, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. He will save us. You know, there's sways across the pond in the evangelical movement across America that have got confused that Donald Trump is the savior. That if he doesn't get elected again, it's all downhill. Donald isn't our judge. Donald isn't our lawgiver. Donald isn't our savior. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. I don't care who's in power. I don't care how pro-Christian they are. That doesn't really matter to me. It's nice to be in that environment. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord God is the one that judges us, that gives the law. He is our King. And he will save us. He will save us. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, just a little bit further on. The law and the Medes of the Persians. God beat them to it. Verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. You see, God, when he says something, he means it. When God says it, that's it. Because he is the one that gives these eternal decrees. So as we close, we want to look at three decrees, not degrees, of God. First of all, there's a searching decree from God. Turn to Jeremiah. Chapter number 17, next chapter. Next book, sorry, from Isaiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Here's a searching decree from the God of creation. You know, as I share these words from Scripture, the Lord is doing this now for each and every one of us. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. The searching decree of God is that you will reap what you sow. That God knows your heart. And if it's not his, it's not his. And there's no hiding that from him. So we have a searching decree from God. We have also a supporting decree from the Lord. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5 says this, let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a supporting decree. And what God means, he says. So when he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, guess what? He means it. He means it. It's a supporting decree. And then finally, John chapter 3 and verse 36. God has a serious decree. John chapter 3 and verse 36. John 3, verse 36, here's the serious decree. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, that's a serious decree. If you don't believe on the Son, you don't have life everlasting. If you don't believe in the Son, the wrath of God is upon you. And that is a serious thing. And you know, we're not dealing with the law of the Medes and the Persians. We're dealing with the eternal truth of a holy God, that when he says that, he means that. He cannot go back in that. He cannot change that. He cannot suddenly, when you stand before him, say, oh, do you know what? You're a special case. I'll let you off. The minute he does that, he ceases to be God, because he's lied, and God cannot lie, for he's not a man. God says it, he's serious about it, and he's willing that none would perish. But here's the truth, here's what I want to say to you this morning. I want you to point you to the cross of Calvary, because we're not subject to Darius's decrees, which have faded away and are just part of history, and actually nobody holds to them, because that empire has fallen. Darius is dead as dead can be. His decrees mean nothing to us, they're just history. He's long gone, but like it or not,
Believe it or not, we are all subject to the decrees of God. We are His creation. Whether we believe in Him or not doesn't stop them decrees from being true, from being eternal, from being all effectual. It's God's word. So we're subject to it whether we like it or not. There's no escape in that. And the searching decree is that God searches our hearts. He knows us. Each and every one of us, He knows our hearts. And your heart is the worst thing that somebody can know. Because your heart reveals why you do the things that you do. It reveals the things that you think. It reveals the very depth-based nature of your sin. If you could see my heart, it would scare the life out of me. It would scare the life out of me. If God was to reveal the thoughts and intents of my heart for the last week on that screen, my goodness me, I'd be gone. I couldn't stand up here. What about your thoughts? You going up there, Bob? No, you don't want to be next on the playlist? No. Let's be honest. Would any of us want that? Why? Why? We're good people. Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want it? Claire? Why wouldn't you want that? It's not very nice, but we're good people. We're not. We're sinners. And our hearts reveal the depth of the depravity. And if we wouldn't want that played in front of our friends, if that's not acceptable to us, why are we not bothered when the decree of God is that He searches our hearts and He knows us? That He sees all that. And the supporting decree is that if we know Him as Savior, He is with us always. Funny how when it comes to other people seeing our innermost thoughts and feelings, we don't want to let them near it. But a holy and righteous and just God, we often don't care what He sees. The Lord searches the hearts. And you know, when Tatnai received the decree of Darius, when he received those decrees, what did he do? Straight away, he obeyed. He did it speedily because he feared that king. He feared that king. But when it comes to God, when it comes to the ultimate lawgiver, I wonder, do we treat Him with as much respect and reverence as we would do with each other or with the authorities of this land? You see, Tatnai immediately did what Darius had commanded, but we are commanded by a greater king to do the things that He's called us to do. And we don't do them. So I wonder this morning, are you messing with the ultimate lawgiver? All things are in His hands. And what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ and Calvary's cross, let me make this clear, separates you. Those three decrees are given. There's a searching decree, there's a supporting decree, and then there's a serious decree. And ultimately, unless you allow the Lord to search your heart and respond to Him, whatever He is telling you, whatever He is showing you, whatever He is revealing in you, whether it's your need to be saved, whether it's your need to get back into the Word, to follow Him, whatever it is, have to respond to receive the support that God is willing to give us. And if we've never responded to Him, never trusted Him as Savior, then the decree that we sit under is that serious one. If we don't have the Son, we don't have life. And if we don't have the Son, we face the wrath of the ultimate lawgiver. See, it all depends what we do with Calvary's cross. It's the gospel.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we are nothing. It's all in him. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, we've looked at the three decrees of Darius: searching, supporting, and serious. But how much more should we look and obey the decrees of a holy God? A God that searches our hearts. A God that's willing to support us. But a God that's also serious. That sin has separated us from him. And without coming to Christ, we face the wrath of that God. But the good news, the gospel, the greatest decree of all, is that we can be saved from our sin. We can know him as Savior. We can be right with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and your word. We thank you for, Lord, your decrees that search our heart.